Learning and Development, Episode 9, Hiring Process. Written by Michelle Whelan. Narrated by AI Simulation, April. I have 15 years of teaching experience, mostly in high school, the woman over the other side of my desk said. I sat there staring at her, wandering in and out of this conversation. I tried to keep my mind on what was happening, but kept wandering into other daydreams. I am also great at curriculum writing and can bring the content to life, she continued. I glanced down at my desk and noticed the notes I have written up on one of the courses. I was in the middle of the build. Man, I don't like when I get interrupted. I believe in encouraging positive reinforcements as well, she added, trying to get my attention. As she talked, I glanced over her shoulder at the office's busyness behind her, wishing I was out there with the team. She stopped talking, and the room lingered in silence until I realized what was happening. Oh, that's right, a job interview. Oh, okay, I said, as I snapped myself back to what was happening. I remember what was said, but I found it hard to find the next question to ask her, so what was your speciality? Speciality? She repeated back at me, trying to understand what I was asking. As an ex-high school teacher, you will primarily teach a particular subject, such as math, English, or even home economics. What did you teach? I asked her, reframing the question. She sat there thinking about it. I looked at her intensely, waiting for her response. If you had taught high school for 15 years, you should have answered this question by the time I had finished it. It took a moment, but she finally answered with, English, and smiled. I was done with this interview, and there was no way I would hire her. There were a lot of alarm bells screaming at me. I took a long breath and said, Thanks for your time, but please understand we have other candidates to interview. Which means in interview talk, fuck no. She stood up, said, Yeah, I know, and started heading to my office door. Doug and I decided to walk her to the lift, trying to make small talk along the way. There is nothing worse than trying to make small talk with someone uninterested in your presence. I could feel the tension between us and her as she just wanted to leave. She stepped into the lift and the doors closed. I counted to three in my head, ready to say something, but Doug jumped in. You're not going to hire her, are you? Nope, I told him, still staring at the lift. That would be the fifth teacher we have interviewed so far, I continued, still staring at the lift doors. I was thinking about the situation we were in. Do we need new staff members? Don't we have enough? We have only been running a functional company for about a fortnight. The reality of the natural world sunk back into me, and I moved towards my office again, admiring the busy office in the open space, still trying to get used to the idea that our little business suddenly grew up. I sat at my desk, and Doug sat in the chair on the opposite side. I looked through the next lot of candidates on my computer when I heard a knock on the door. One of my coworkers stepped through. Morning, Sarah. Doug. We have some feedback on the content from Oscar. They made a few changes, but it can be doable. I sat there staring at her, still trying to figure out who was who in the company, as I had only briefly been introduced to them all. Now, which one was she? She was of African-American descent and looked younger than me. She wore her hair in braids, red thick-frame glasses, and was casually dressed in jeans, a t-shirt, and a blazer. She stood there staring back at us, waiting for a response. A smile stretched across her face as she continued to wait for us to reply. Which one are you? I asked her, breaking the silence in the room. Ruby Gunster, head of the content writing department. She replied in a way that I should already know this. We have a writing department? I said, turning to Doug. Yes, Sarah, we have content writers, content designers, LMS architects, and LMS admin too. I know Doug told me this before, but sometimes I need a reminder that this little crazy fantasy has literally become real. I focus back on Ruby, trying to think of a response to her statement. Wait, what did she say again? Oscar? She repeated. Oh, now it's all coming back to me. Oscar was the name of the stakeholder for the company CarGuard, an insurance company specializing in protecting vintage cars. If I remember correctly, he wanted O, H, and S, and sales courses. It's mostly the spelling of words. He kept telling me it's a Z, not a S in Realize and Organized, Ruby explains, waving her hands around nervously. I remember this course. I reviewed it and added some of the mix-ups to it. Doug turned to face me and raised an eyebrow, hoping I would say something. But being Australian, we add S's instead of Z's. This was a common practice between Doug and me when we shared each other's work. I would mix up the spelling and change it to Australian, and then Doug would go back in and rewrite them back to American spelling. He would always hand my work back with a, "Remember the Z, Sarah," and a few image swaps. "Apart from that, it's okay for build," Ruby continued, looking intense at us. "Okay, good," I said, not sure what to say to that. "Don't forget, stand up in 15 minutes, Doug added. 15 minutes? Enough time to get a coffee, I added, quickly getting up from my desk. I walked into our one and only boardroom and sat down. I sipped my coffee as I watched the rest of the participants walk in. Ruby came in and sat down opposite me, and then an Asian girl sat down next to her. Her cyberpunk hair and bouncy attitude made me think she might be in the design department. Then, I heard the chair beside me move and watched a guy sit beside me. He was a little person with a full bushy beard and in a casual suit. "Yeah, I know I'm little," he told me. I didn't realize I was staring at him. "Sorry, my fault. I didn't realize I was staring," I replied. "It's okay for you because you're the boss," he said. This made me smile a little. "Look at us," the cyberpunk Asian said. "We are such a diverse group of people." This statement threw me off. I didn't understand what she said. We are a diverse group, but this never registered with me, as I always saw this as a standard function in companies. If these people have the talent and the skills to produce excellent products, should it really matter what they look like? I didn't know how to answer this, so I said, "We sure are." Doug finally joined us and added, "Thanks for your patience," as he sat at the head of the table. "Thanks for your patience? Who is this guy? That didn't sound like Doug." "Show off." Before starting, I asked the team to introduce themselves again. "Trixie, head of design," the Asian girl said as she couldn't hold that information in anymore. "Gary, one of the leading architects. Also, Moodle qualified." The little person went next. "We using Moodle?" I said to Doug. He nodded. "It's quicker." "Ruby, head of content writing," Ruby said once again. They all looked at me. "Oh, I'm Sarah." I didn't know how to answer the next part. Am I a bit of everything? Am I the CEO or am I a manager? "The CEO of the company," Doug answered for me. He leaned on the table and said, "So, what do you guys have for me?" "I have been teaching for 6 years. Yep, we are back at this again." I sat there listening to this woman talking about her work history, with my mind diving in and out of the conversation. Why do only teachers with no L&D experience keep applying? "It's mostly in elementary school," I heard her say. If I sit here smiling away, would she know I'm pretending to be interested? "I have been a 6th grade, 3rd grade, and 4th grade teacher," another thing I heard her say. I glanced over her shoulder to see the office buzzing again. What kind of work is the team working on? Trixie, sitting there with her giant headphones on, intensely watched her computer screen, dodging her mouse from left to right. I darted my eyes over to Ruby sitting at her desk. She is so poised for a writer, like the sitting at your desk part of OH and S training was drilled into her. Sitting up straight, both her feet planted on the ground, her elbows bent at 90-degree angles, she is typing away without looking down at her keyboard. I get jealous of people who can do that. I can type quickly with one finger, but typing without looking is a whole new level. The woman on my desk's other side stopped talking, drawing my attention back to her. She let out a slight cough, returning my attention to the room and the task. I looked at the papers on my desk and tried to find the next question or words to say to her while Doug sat at the other end between us. She smiles and says, "I understand that this role is like teaching, but for adults. I mean, there is no difference between teaching kids and adults." No sooner had she said this than I could feel Doug's eye roll. I suddenly stopped what I was doing to stare directly at her. There is nothing more than an incorrect attitude to a career choice that will rock me to my core, especially if you are trying to change your career. There is a huge difference between adult education and training and teaching little kids. I felt the burning rage come over me, and the paper in my hand started to crumble. Do I dare to put her back in her place, or should I just leave it? I decided to play it big. I took a deep breath and said, There is a huge difference between adult teaching and kid teaching. Yes, both don't want to learn and would rather be working or playing. That's why we add experience learning while playing, like game-based learning. It helps develop their problem-solving skills and so on. This technique is commonly used in both learning for adults and kids, but in adult learning, the sole purpose is to help them get further in life, like up skills or becoming at the highest level in their career. Adults learn in small doses, micro-learning. There is no need for other stuff. Most of the time, they want to get in, learn, and get out. She sat there staring at me. I could tell she was getting angry by how she stared at me and how hard the smile on her face was getting. There is no need to write a curriculum or plan their day. We don't normally do face-to-face training as it's never been requested. She was trying her best not to show how pissed off she was. I heard her take a deep breath and pick up her handbag off the floor. She placed her left arm through it and added, "So, this is just a waste of time, is it?" I didn't know how to handle that, and I couldn't answer her. She darted her eyes between the two of us before saying, "Maybe you should rethink the ad you have placed before looking at another candidate." Then she stormed out of the office. I sat there watching her leave. The thing is, I have no idea what I want in the company or what Doug wrote for the job description. Doug replaced her spot and said, "You know that adult learning and kid learning are similar. We just use adult words more and give them a shorter learning time." I turned to him. "Why do we need more people?" "Our company is growing. We just signed on 3 more new clients. How are we going to get their stuff done? Our team is already under the pump and is only 2 weeks in." Doug is right. We are under the pump on all of this. I turned to my computer and started typing in Google, looking at the job ad Doug wrote up. "I want to see what you wrote for a job ad. I need to understand why we keep getting teachers applying." I told Doug. "What keywords did you use?" He shrugged. "I don't know, learning, development, e-learning, instructional design." I typed those words into the search bar, started scrolling through the list of jobs, and finally found ours. I read it twice, ensuring I understood everything and what we were looking for. A few things stood out as I read what was there. "Doug, you know you didn't add anything here about Moodle, Articulate, or design experience," I told him. "You only have here about learning and teaching. Is this why we kept getting teachers applying? Or could it be that the education industry is so bad that they want a stable job where they can still teach?" Doug added, trying to cover up his mistake. "This doesn't explain your crappy attempt at a job ad," I explained to him. "Okay, yes, I did create a crappy job ad, but at least we are getting people." Doug still tried to cover his story. "But it doesn't matter if we have a crappy job ad or a great job ad, we will still get these teachers. It's pretty bad out there," he continued, pointing towards the window. "No way, it can't be that bad. People still make schooling fun and exciting on TV," I told him, trying to make good out of this. "Sarah, this is not High School the Musical anymore. The system is failing everyone. Turn on the news occasionally and you will see," Doug said as he got up. He turned and leant in towards me. "When I say the news, I don't mean Kent Brockman from The Simpsons." I stood in the kitchen, wrapping my hands around the cup of tea. "Hey, Sarah," Ruby said to me as she cleaned her cup. I knew the small talk would begin, and I'm not much of a small talker. I do need to get to know my team better. "How long have you been a writer?" I asked her. "Since I was 14, she said back. I didn't know how to respond to that. She looks like she's still fresh out of college, so 14 could have been a couple of years ago. She grabbed a teabag from the container, unraveled it, and continued, "I've wanted to be a writer since reading Fault in Our Stars. Man, I love that book. It showed me that I too wanted to be a writer." I know what she was talking about. That book was amazing, but I didn't get the whole "I want to be a writer" vibe from it. I started with fan fiction and wrote about my characters from Supernatural. Some of my friends thought they were good, she added while pouring the hot water into her cup. I like to write so much that one of my stories won me a scholarship to college, where I learned how much of an asshole my professor was, she continued and took a sip from her cup. She rested herself on the kitchen bench facing me. "You will never become a great writer like me," he said to all of us. Then on, he was always angry and told us our work was crap. "How did you pass?" I asked her, hoping it wouldn't be something terrible. She took another sip from her cup. "Oh, he didn't last. He had a heart attack before the first semester ended, and we ended up with a professor who was preliminary. She was awesome, Not only she taught us to write, but to feel about the writing and how to feel about other people's pieces of work. So much debate and passion came from those classes. I smiled, feeling the joy coming from her. She noticed me smiling away at the conversation. This made her giggle a little, then made me giggle with her. I started to feel a bond between us was starting to grow. As we walked from the kitchen, I asked her one more question. But why education? It's my mom. She didn't think I could make it as a writer. She knew I was great, but worried I wouldn't make it. So she made me get an educational degree, too. So I had something to fall back on. I can still write but teach at the same time. I learned all about learning and development, and a friend of mine needed someone to write content for their company's learning and development team. So I applied and got the job. I didn't realize how much fun it was. I get to write and educate people at the same time. I knew then I found my passion and my style of writing. I stopped walking and watched her continue to her desk. She turned around and said one last thing to me. I hope my skills will help me become one of the content writers for Crash Course one of these days. I sat at my computer looking up the news on Google. I found so many articles about the damage to the educational system and how broken it has become. Teachers get into trouble, have no say, can't defend themselves, have low pay, book bans, useless learning systems, removal of STEM, shootings, can't even make an OnlyFans page. I slammed the top of my laptop. I no longer wanted to read. The real world was far too scary. The education system was taking a dive when I was a teacher, but reading these stories makes it sound like they forgot to add the water into the swimming pool. My God, what is going on? Doug walked in. You look like you've seen a ghost. Witnessing a ghost, or better yet, an alien, would be normal compared to what I was reading. I told him. He sat down, not understanding what I was saying. Please never let me read the news again. I'll just get my current events like a normal person. Check Facebook every now and then. You learn about the education system, didn't you? It's scary these days, Doug told me. Scary would have been an understatement. We have an interview this afternoon, Doug reminded me. Please, Sarah, could you focus and try to look like you're interested in them? I will, I said to him. He got up and said, I'm glad I didn't tell you to look up blue waffles then, and left. I stood up from my desk to greet the next candidate. We shook hands and she took her seat. Doug swung himself around to his seat. He placed his left leg on his right and rested his clipboard. I sat there watching him do this. My God, he is such a poser. I turned my attention to the woman sitting in front of me, dressed in a white shirt, black skinny jeans, and navy blue blazer. Her face points to me, and her vast smile shows me her Latin American features. Vera, is it? I asked her. Yes, she said, still smiling. Without skipping a beat and trying not to get into the small talk yet again, I introduce myself and Doug and who the company is. This was a typical speech. It came out like autopilot. I do love talking about chalkboard learning, but when you explain who you are and what this company does at least 6 times a day, it becomes more like routine than excitement. I asked her typical interview questions like, why us? What are you looking for in a new job? And what is your work history? Vera was open and honest. She replied with reason but threw a positive swing to each answer. I know what interviews are like and know all the tricks. As a prime candidate for freelance work, you need to interview quite a lot. But in her responses to my questions, I didn't hear the ticks I was looking for. In fact, I still didn't even know what I was looking for. Vera explained her history as a school teacher. She decided to leave the profession because she felt burnt out and unsafe. She took a long break and decided to return to work. Teaching scared her, so she decided to try learning and development. Listening to the same story from each candidate made me drift off yet again, finding it hard to concentrate on what had been said. I look over her shoulder to watch the busyness going on in the office. I start to imagine myself out there being a part of the workflow. Sarah, come back to us, I heard Doug say. Sorry, I firmly said to them both. I looked down at Vera's resume and went to ask her another question, but I had nothing. I sat there staring at her, wondering if we should hire a teacher. Is it worth the punch and backlash from our clients that we may have someone on board who is not really qualified to design their work? I heard Doug ask her a question, and she turned her attention to him. She answered the question, but related it back to her experiences as a teacher. dug through another question and then another. She answered them using her experiences. I sat there watching the back and forth between Doug and Vera, exchanging words. I also watched Doug write down notes as Vera talked as well. Why is he so good at this? I really should learn from him. There was a slight pause between them, and I decided to take my chance and ask her designer question, still trying to figure out what we needed. How do you present your work to the class? I asked her, trying to relate my questions to her teaching. This was a question I once asked when I first started exploring the world of instructional design. PowerPoint, videos, YouTube? She said, confused about the question. You do know about color theory or accessibility theory? Game-based learning? I asked her. She sat there with a smile on her face, wondering what to do next. But she looked more confused about my questions than trying to find an answer. Normally, an interviewer would have helped her by simplifying the question, but not me. I had enough, I didn't want to look anymore, I just wanted to build. I was completely over this interviewing crap. I rolled my eyes, waiting for her response. You really don't need to know this stuff yet. Sarah is trying to find designers for the team, Doug said, trying to help. I don't know what I'm looking for, I told him. I know we need more people to work here, but who? Vera dodged her eyes between us like a small child caught in the middle of their parents' argument. You know, she began to say. I hold my finger up at her to stop her and continue to talk to Doug. Do you know what we want? He shrugged. He didn't know what we needed. Do all companies go through this? How are we supposed to grow our company if we don't know what we need? I felt a hot, burning sensation come over me. I was officially done with interviews. This is bullshit, I finally said. Vera sat there not knowing what to do. Her eyes widened and her mouth dropped. It's not expected to hear the interviewer suddenly giving up on the process in the middle of an interview. I realized what I had said and thought this was directed at her. Sorry, not you. You're lovely and have a great personality. I can see how professional you are, but this whole interviewing situation is bullshit. I stood up, leaned on my desk, and continued. Do you even know what learning and development is? Or even how it works? Do you even know how to teach adults or upskill a person? It's very different to teaching kids. Trust me, I know. What about design? Do you know how to design? Take written content and make it fun in an online environment. I started to pace up and down behind my desk as I continued to preach at her. What about Articulate Storyline? It's one of the programs we use. So many people get caught out that it's a fancy term for PowerPoint. It's not. They are two completely different programs. Storyline is like you took PowerPoint, fed it a bunch of steroids, sick it in the gym for 2 weeks, and told it to pump. It will come out of the gym with guns on its guns. I stopped to look at her, wondering if I had lost her yet. She moved her eyes between myself and Doug. There is way more to L&D than training adults, I finished. I stood there watching her trying to answer me. Her mouth moved up and down, yet nothing came out. She finally closed her mouth and swallowed the last of notion. She grabbed her handbag and laced her arm through the handles. She stood there staring at me with her handbag straps in the folds of her elbow, ready to leave. She said one final thing. All I wanted to do was have a career change. Then she walked out of my office. Her words, career change, hit me hard. All those years ago suddenly came back to me when I went through my own career change, from school teacher to instructional designer. And it was because of one person who took the risk and helped me. I stood there watching Vera walk across the office towards the elevator, looking upset, realizing that Vera was in the same boat as me all those years ago. Another memory popped into my head, after a year of doing instructional design when I promised myself that when the time came, I would become a mentor and train the next person who wants to take their career change seriously. What have I done? Guilt rushed over me. Vera was serious, and all of them who came into this interview were serious. I treated them all like I was better than them. I'm not better than them. I was one of them at one point. Doug took her place, and with his eyes wide open, "The fuck, Sarah? You can't say shit like that to someone you are interviewing. She could report us, or worse, TikTok about it." I ignored Doug and saw Vera push the button to the elevator. I quickly ran out behind my desk and pushed Doug out of the way. I ran towards the elevator and pushed the doors open. "Vera, I'm sorry, my life, well, My career life has flipped on its head and becoming beefier. Please step out of the lift and let me show you the team. I placed my hand out to see if she would take it. I totally understood if she didn't want to, as I showed her a boss that nobody ever wants to work for. She stood in the back of the elevator for a while. I jiggled my hand a bit, hoping she would take it a second time, trying to gain her trust. She rolled her eyes and caved in. She grabbed my hand, and I pulled her back into the building. We walked together towards Doug, who was standing there in the open space with his hands on hips, staring me down, wondering what crazy plan I had up my sleeve. I told Doug about one of our contracts a few years ago. I don't know what I want to join our team, but I do know what I don't want is an ex-teacher who has no clue how to train or design. Remember the meatpacking company? When we worked with that ex-teacher, she didn't think it was right, no matter what we said or did. And the designs she produced were horrible. Who in the world uses purple text on a gray background? Doug had his turn to roll his eyes at me, then sarcastically pointed at Vera standing next to me, indicating that she was an ex-teacher with no design experience. Oh, don't worry about that, Doug. I said back to him, "We can train Vera. Look at her." I pointed at Vera. She's got the soul of a newbie. Her face says, "Teach me, and I shall learn." As I turned to face her, she stood there wide-eyed, trying to find the words to say. I whisper to Doug, "Trust me, I can read people." Doug relaxed his arms. He turned to the team when I shouted, "Rubes, Gary, Trixie!" The three of them dropped what they were doing and walked over. I turned my attention to Ruby. "Rubes, we need to hire more people. Who do we need?" She looked around the office, then returned and turned to face me. "I don't know. I don't know any instructional designers." "Wait, I was a bit worried about this. You don't network?" I turned to Doug. "Put that down in your notebook to send Rubes to more networking events." "No, please don't," she said. "What do we need?" I asked her. "Well, a couple of new content writers would be great." I pointed at Trixie. She stood there and said, "Well, we're swamped, Sarah, so more builders?" I snapped my finger at Gary, who caught on to what was happening here. "Oh, an extra LMS admin could help. We only have one, and they can't handle all the calls that come in," he said. "Calls?" I asked him. "You know the normal stuff. I can't log in and I forgot my password, the usual crap." Gary responded, "Maybe one more architect?" He added, "We have our wish list." I turned to Vera and asked, "Can you start Monday?" Her mouth hung there, yet again. It would have been the strangest interview anyone had ever done. First, you were yelled at and then offered the role. "You have a team of people here who will train you up in the things you don't know." She still stood there with no words to say to all of this. Her mouth continued to hang there with no emotion. I really needed an answer from her, as this was bothering me. "This is the universe telling you that you now have a chance to change your career," I said to her, trying to push her for an answer. She looked around the office, her mouth still hanging, trying to find the words. She shrugged and then added, "Yes, fine. I'll start Monday." We shook hands and she left. To be honest, I would have kept walking. Then Ruby approached me and pointed out, "You know what we really need? Someone in marketing." "Marketing?" I questioned. "Yes, marketing," Ruby answered. Doug rolled his head back, knowing how I felt about marketing. He muttered something about it, tried to hear him. "Fuck marketing," I said. "We can do the marketing side ourselves." Sarah somehow has it in with the marketing team for some reason. Doug tried to reason with Ruby. "Okay, I don't have it out, but marketing seems to always be the gatekeeper of all media. If you want a photo, they will crack it at you and take 3 weeks to find or create it," I explained. In every company Doug and I have worked with, the marketing department has always found it difficult to get any media. Sometimes it's just easier to create it ourselves. As I walked away from group, I told Doug, "You got that all down, right?" "Yes, I do, and more," Doug said. "Also, add in some interns as well. Every company has interns," I added to the conversation. I got the team to write their wish lists on what they want in an ideal candidate for each position. Ruby rewrote the job ads and placed them online for me. It felt like this whole interview process was over, but it was far from it. I learned so much from myself as a boss and as an interviewer. I decided to learn how to product interviews and know what questions to ask. As our new candidates started to roll in, I added the team for the interview. I let them ask the technical questions, ensuring we are getting the best. I was surprised myself through this that sometimes taking a chance on people can be beneficial. When the day ended and the office was emptied, I hung out in the office like I used to do in the old place. I opened my special stash from my bookshelf and made myself comfortable on the couch in my office. Ever since Mrs. Barton's days and building her online history class, I have become addicted to Crash Course. I would get in early, get my morning coffee, and sit down to watch an exciting, knowledgeable episode of Crash Course. After a day I had, I needed extra wind down. I turned the TV on, went to the YouTube app, and found where I last left off on the long list of episodes of Crash Course. As it started to play, I lit up, rolled my head back, and drew in a long drag of the joint I had hanging in my mouth. When I felt I had enough, I turned the TV volume up and drew a long breath out, still with my head rolled back, watching the thick smoke dance in the air. The noise in my head started to go quiet, and all I could hear was the sound of the TV telling me about the French Revolution. I took another drag, as the first one needed to help calm me down. I rolled my head slowly back and lifted my eyes to start watching the TV when I heard, "Sarah?" The sound of my name made me jump, as I always thought I was alone in the office. The voice was familiar. I slowly turned to find Ruby standing behind me with her backpack on. She rolled her eyes in disbelief and threw her backpack down. "Bitch, you could have waited for me." She jumped over the couch and made herself comfortable next to me. She stole the joint out of my hands and started to take drags from it. She then noticed what I was watching and said, "Oh yeah, this one is a good episode," and she took another drag. I sat watching her, admiring her and giggling at her notion. She handed the joint back as she drew out her last breath. I started to feel the effect as I took it out of her hand. I took another drag and asked her, "Do you think John drinks too much red cordial before each episode?" She sat there staring at me, not understanding my question. Then she let out a laugh, which made me laugh. She turned back to the TV, made herself comfortable again, and asked, "Should we make this our regular thing?" I blew the smoke out and just smiled back at her. You have been listening to Learning and Development. Tune in next time.